This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And today I'm joined by Lynn Bell. Hey, Lynn, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tony.
So you have a webinar coming up called Relationship Alchemy. At least part one is called Relationship Alchemy. And so I thought maybe we could talk today a little bit about relationship charts and some of your work with family dynamics and just get into talking about how to use astrology to think about our relationships. And so I thought we could just start by having you tell us a little bit about what was your inspiration for this webinar series that you've created?
Well, one of the inspirations, I've actually done this work for a long time without officially giving it this title, but one of the things I've noticed from people I work with is that sometimes the most powerful relationships in their lives aren't the longest lasting ones, that people can have relationships that last 10 days, but then are working on them for a very, very long time. And of course, long-lasting relationships work in a very, very different way. And what I've always been curious with those relationships is why this person at this time, and what is it that happens between these charts? What do we see? And, you know, here I'm talking about synastry. I do look at composites, but not so often.
Well, let me interrupt you really quick because we'll have some listeners that have no idea what you just said. So can you tell folks what synastry means and what a composite chart is?
Yes, sorry, Tony.
No worries.
So when you're working with the charts of your chart and another person's chart, you basically look at how the planets activate each other. Do they repel? Do they attract? Do they sizzle? Do they sparkle? Do they crush you? Do they overwhelm you? And of course, all of this happens. It's kind of like weather. You know, at one point you're connecting with one piece of another person, and another point it might be another part of their chart that's dominating in the connection. And so, you know, we're mysteries to ourselves, but when we add another person to the mix, it's as if the molecules are dancing in a new way. So synastry means with the stars. And we're using the stars, the way the planets move together. And when you have accurate birth times, of course, you can also look at house placements. And that gives us even more information. Just to say what a composite is, which I'm not going to do, is that a composite is where you combine two people's charts. It's like you add everything together and divide it and create a new chart. And that's a way of looking at relationship. But I'm really interested in this sparkle and sizzle.
Right. I think most of us are interested in the sparkle and sizzle as well.
Right. Well, and of course, you know, those are fiery metaphors, but those are also, you know, that fire energy is often there. If that's not there, the relationship often doesn't begin. You know, how do you get into it without being pushing key? Right. But that isn't what a relationship is really about necessarily. Just because you have the spark or the connecting point, that isn't enough to keep you there necessarily. There are relationships that are just about that. They burn themselves out really fast. And that might be why they're 10-day relationships. But as I said, that in a way, you can't time is not the judge of quality. Time is not the judge of importance for a person's inner experience.
That's very, very, very important point.
Yeah, I do have, I did a workshop a few years ago, actually, where I looked at, I asked people if they could find the moment they met their beloved. Okay. And we, you know, the closest you could get to it, when did this relationship begin? Because some people know. Right. Yeah. You know, some people, you can narrow it down to 15 minutes in some cases, or some people narrow it down to a few days. And when you do those charts, the chart for the moment of the beginning of a relationship, they're very, very interesting. And then you're also looking at transits and progressions for each individual, what gets activated. That's fascinating. That's could be another chapter of this work.
Okay.
It isn't what I plan to do next weekend, which is, you know, in the first one, I really want to look at how charts connect. What are the things that get us in some way linked together?
Right. What leads to the connection in the first place?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, going in a different direction, another piece of relationship work that you're really known for and based on one of your books is family dynamics. So there's not just romantic relationships that we're thinking about here when we talk about relationships and relationships between people in astrology, but you can also use astrology to get insights into people's dynamics and their relationships with their mother and their father and siblings and anybody in the family. Can you tell folks first a little bit about what is family dynamics work and, well, and in terms of how you practice it?
Oh, big subject.
Right.
First of all, I did some training in family systems therapy, but really when people came to me as clients with their charts, I would see, boy, mom is huge in your chart. You know, like you can see when someone has moon Pluto and square Mars and that they've got an issue, an emotional issue to work out with their mother. And now what you can do, you have several ways of dealing with that. You could say, okay, my mother's like a huge presence, or there's something in my history that's really big. But you can also say, well, what's behind this? You know, it's not, you know, if you're just looking in terms of you and what other person, well, it's all her fault because she has these terrible aspects, right? Of course, but no, it doesn't really work that way. First of all, there's the way you receive your family, which I think is often described in your chart. There's the way you actually experience them, which may be very different from the way your siblings did, if you have siblings
right.
who are born in different times with different charts. Then you also have, what I've understood is that we as individuals are not separate, right? We're not separate from each other. You know, this is of course what the Buddhists say, you know, we're all interdependent. We're not separate from our time, from our culture, but particularly we evolved out of this psychological soup of the family, right? And there's a certain point in our life in when you're young, sometimes you don't, you know, like, oh, that's finished, now I'm doing my thing, you know, but then you generally get pulled back into it and say, and you see how powerfully things have shaped you. And so you want to go in and sort that all out. All right. And one of the things I say in my book, Planetary Threads, is that I think we also come in with tasks. We come in with relationships. We love our family. Sometimes we don't, or it doesn't feel that way anyway. And then you have to work that out. How does that affect your intimate relationships? So, you know, the whole idea is that family is a template for how you move forward. It's not a fate, of course. You know, you can develop in many different ways, but there are these forces that pull on us, you know, as surely as the gravity of the earth affects us, or the, you know, the light of the moon and the light of the sun, all of these things affect us. And the people that we've spent years with have an effect on our own development and our emotional responses. So as you can think of that in terms of one person, but what I found personally for me is the further you get back and the more you see it as a system and the way energies are playing together or feeding back into each other, it's so valuable. And if anybody listening has done constellation work, I did this, I was teaching a series of classes on family and astrology at the Oxford Summer School last summer. And I did a couple of sessions where people actually did some acting out of family members using their own charts. And it was very powerful. So you suddenly see how you're carrying something. You actually get an objective feeling. You hear a dialogue. You start to see how all this affects you. So it's a little bit like the insight we get from astrology. When you first learn astrology, you're like, oh, this person has all this fire. This person has all this earth. That's why they do, you know, I think astrology is mind-boggling with the information and insight it gives us about how others are constructed. But then it gives us this, and you know, most of our focus is on me and one other person, but this focus about seeing these connections with family dynamics are really, really helpful, I have found.
And to get that bigger picture point of view and to kind of take in the different points of view, I love your point there about how, you know, with the moon, we'll often describe, like, if you've got, you know, three or four brothers and sisters, you might all have a different moon. And in some families, you've probably seen it where actually everybody has the same moon. So that it's happens
true.
Too.
It does happen.
That happens too. But when everybody has a different moon, it's like everybody had the same mother. Let's just assume, because that's not everybody's story, but everybody, let's assume everybody had the same mother. Everybody's experience of mother can be different. And then when you put everybody in the soup, having that different experience of mother, that creates something new too. So what technically, what are some of the ways that you get at this? Do you run charts for the entire family?
Well, you know, that's a huge amount of work.
Yeah, okay? I know that you've done it before, so I was just wondering.
It's a huge amount of work. So generally when I do this work, I have an ongoing group with people who want to explore family. And what I found in the past is that, you know, sometimes people were supposed to do the work themselves, but they'd often let me do it. So, I have to have a very clear contract. And doing that work individually, you know, you have to work over time. So it's not like you can get all insights into a family. You have to always work with your own chart.
Yeah.
But what you do is you change a little bit your hat and then you start lurking. So you're really doing a kind of ongoing research and beginning to see things. One of the things that I did was identify what I called planetary threads, like what's transmitted from generation to generation. So, for example, one family, everyone will have a Neptune Sun aspect. Everybody, parents, children, grandchildren. But then what does that mean? Okay, so first, what you're doing is identifying commonality. You're identifying the astrological quality of your family. And some families are very different. They don't have a signature like that, but they'll have half the family who have Mars Uranus and the other have Neptune Moon, you know, like, so you
right.
can imagine you'll be split into tribal
right.
tendencies.
Yeah.
So whereas the Neptune Moon people would be, you know, the vegetarians who are going to yoga class, the Mars Uranus are going to be hiking, starting businesses and hiking mountains. And, you know, like there may be no judgment there, but when you as an individual are trying to put these things together, it can be complicated.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to go back from the large family work where you're doing a lot of work over time, I just had a client, for example, ask me to do, if it would be useful to do a session about her mother. Because she's doing a lot of work and therapy, and would it be good to look at the chart? And when a person's ready to do this, you know, not again from the blame game point of view, which is, oh, my mother, brilliant, but really, what is there? How do your charts interact? How do you find what's happening there? And, you know, before I was talking about spark and sizzle, you don't necessarily want that with a close family member, right? Spark and sizzle in a family is more like, you know, drama and arguments, you know, in a
right.
sexual relationship, it sounds great.
Right.
So something that's good in one kind of relationship, like for your running partner, is not going to be great for your, you know, nurturing partner.
Right.
Right. You don't really want the same thing. And then there's individuals. Not all of us want the same things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is no one formula for the best relationship combination.
Right.
And I love looking at those combinations and how they work together. And, you know, everybody here has had that experience of meeting somebody they fall in love with. Why do you fall in love with that person? I mean, either as a friend or a you're just like, oh, I love them. They're so great. You know, like, and it doesn't mean there's anything you have to have or have to get from that relationship, but there's a wave of connectedness and an immediate heart opening that happens with some people. That's also of a very different nature. And that can happen in friendship, it can happen in love, it can happen with people you admire. I think the world of relationship is fascinating.
Yeah, just earlier in one of our classes today, we were talking about certain words that have different meanings. And, you know, in some cultures, you'll have a word like love, where there's several different words for love. And then mm-hmm. in ours, there's just the one, and we're trying to squeeze all of our concepts into that one word. It's really hard. But your point is really well made, that there are a lot of different experiences and expressions and needs. We all have different needs on that level. And in that way, we don't all have the exact same love, need, or desire. And the chart can kind of tell us a little bit about our uniqueness. And then when we put those charts together with the people we're in relationship with, they're describing some of these connections and the different styles and types of connections there. So yeah, I'm excited about your webinar and for you leading folks into that and in the Relationship Alchemy series. And then of course, with your family dynamics work. I mean, that's just, it's powerful work because it's family is so formative, of course, but so complicated. So, you know, you're doing great work being able to hold that complexity for people. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Tony. You know, what I recommend, I mean, family work is something to do after you've already got your basics in astrology. And also, you know, it helps you hold a more objective position. It helps you see a little bit how things are connecting, interacting, shifting.
Yeah. And it's so hard to be objective with family, right?
so hard ever.
So any tool that can possibly break the ice there is a good one.
Right. Right. And there are moments, you know, I work with over my career, I've worked with quite a few therapists who will send me their clients at a certain moment because they'll say, okay, they need this point of view. Right.
Then
we'll come back. I mean, very often when I do family work, I might be doing it over a number of years, right? Like somebody might come once every 6 weeks, not 6 weeks, say 6 months.
Yeah.
And we do a family member chart and we digest that. And then we do it again 6 months later. It's like all deep work. It's like learning astrology. It takes time to come into your consciousness.
And then to digest what you receive.
Right. And the whole idea of the alchemy of relationships is, I think, and, you know, I'm not alone in thinking of this. There's a lot of wonderful astrologers who say this, that relationships seem to have a purpose. Right.
Right. Yes.
And in a way, you know, well, I'm here. There's something to do here. What is the work of this particular relationship?
Right.
And that also is an interesting thing. And here I'm talking, you know, I'm talking about the inner work of each individual. I'm not necessarily talking about, is she the one or is he the one? It's really, what will this relationship bring out in me, right?
Yeah, yeah. What have I signed up for here? Sometimes
I love this work. And I also love working, I think alchemy, one of the reasons I call it relationship alchemy, is I actually love the images. You know, I recently, about 10 days ago, I wrote something on my blog about being contained, right? And, you know, what happens when what happens when you go home for Thanksgiving and you spend a week with your family and there's a big snowstorm and you can't get out? Right. You can't, right. You know, we're going for a walk now. Oops, no one can go out. So
right.
What happens in Italy if you can't leave the region you live in, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely up right now with Saturn and Pluto and Capricorn. And but I love, sure. I mean, that phrase being contained is really worth contemplating, right?
Right. So containment is a first step in the alchemical process, right? It's almost like, how do you come together? And most relationships have an intimate space, right? They happen between, romantic relationships happen between two people. Family is all about containment. It's all about protection in our childhood. We are safe with these people. Mm. If we have a good family, we're not safe with these people if we don't.
We're in prison with these people. Or it feels like that.
Some of us have had this experience, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I wrote in my blog post that, you know, the idea of spending a week locked in with my family of origin would give me palpitations, you know, right. Like, but not, none of them are here anymore. They're like, it's a kind of, but just that idea is, you know, makes me want to get on the plane and go somewhere, which is of course what I did. But we all have our dynamic of, right now we may be entering that kind of containment on many, many different levels, right? And so I think if we think of it as an alchemical process, okay, which is part of the big movements going on in the world of the Saturn Pluto conjunction, we're all entering a new phase in our relationships with inside and outside, and therefore also with the people close to us and far from us.
So how is the relationship working on us to change something in us?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Beautiful. Well, folks, if your curiosity is piqued, tune in to Lynn's webinar at Astrology University on March 14th, the Alchemy of Relationships, Part 1. And she'll be doing a second part as well to explore a different dynamic. And that's going to be at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And if you are listening to this after the fact, you can still tune in. Just head over to astrologyuniversity.com and look for Lynn Bell's speaker page. You can just type her name in the search bar, Lynn Bell, and you'll find her talks there, and you can get the download version of it and just listen to it right away. So thanks for preparing this material for us, Lynn. Very
right.
Timely.
I mean, that's great. And you know, luckily I remembered 9 a.m. Pacific time. If you're in Europe, you know,
Next weekend,
people change to summertime, but we will still not have. So really make sure you check your clock. It's not the same.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're on our website, we've got a little button to help you do that. It says convert to your time zone. So if you're not sure, just click that button and you'll find out. I recommend checking it, even if you think you're sure, just because of the time zone change that Lynn just described. So thanks for pointing that out, Lynn.
Yeah. Tony, you have everything on your website. That's amazing.
Well, you know, I pay attention to the customer support and respond to people's problems. And when we get the same problem coming up over and over, I try to find a solution for people. So
great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Lynn, for joining us today. And be safe out there, yourself and everybody listening. And I hope to, we'll talk to you again really soon, I'm sure, Lynn.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Take care. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.